Harper Audio presents Need You Now by James Grappando, performed by Jonathan Davis. December 2008, Miami. Chapter 1. Jerry Collins knew that it would end, and end badly. The entire operation was a fraud. His fraud as much as anyone's. Still, the breaking news on the Financial News Network left him numb.
Abe Cushman, a former chairman of the NASDAQ stock market and a force on Wall Street trading for nearly 50 years, has reportedly taken his own life this morning.
Collins stared at the plasma screen on the wall. The Harvard-educated anchorwoman with the beauty queen hair was almost giddy with excitement, as if the real-time development of a story like this during her mid-morning time slot were the journalistic equivalent of winning the Super Bowl.
He did it, thought Collins. Abe really did it.
Cushman's apparent suicide has sent shockwaves through the financial community, the anchorwoman said, as it comes just hours before he was to surrender to federal authorities in Manhattan on charges of massive securities fraud.
The telephone rang. It had been ringing off the hook all morning. Collins ignored it. He went to the window and soaked in one last view of sparkling Biscayne Bay, the port of Miami, and sun-drenched South Beach beyond. The South Florida office of GC Investments was a lavishly appointed penthouse in Miami's financial district. Not bad for a kid from Jersey who had started out selling pre-owned cars. A keen eye for big spenders ready to part with their money was his gift. A little car knowledge and a lot of smooth talking had paid his way through business school, where he'd graduated in the bottom 10%, good enough to launch a 10-year string of completely unspectacular career moves. Then his father, buddies with Abe Cushman since grammar school, landed him a dream gig. GC Investments became an approved feeder fund, one of a select few investment firms that could funnel cash to Abe Cushman. His bonus the first year had been $1 million. By age 35, he was earning twice that much, per month. And now this. Collins was glad his father wasn't alive to see it. Again, the desk phone rang. Collins crossed the room and yanked the cord from the wall jack. There was no one to answer telephones anymore. No financial advisors, no assistants, no receptionist. The office had closed its doors for good at 5 p.m. the day before. Collins was alone.
"We go now to FNN reporter Charlie Hughes," said the anchorwoman, "who is at the Midtown headquarters of Cushman Investment, where frantic investors are gathering to demand answers about the money they entrusted to Mr. Cushman."
Collins turned his attention back to the TV screen.
"Shock and anger," the reporter on the scene said. "Those are the prevailing sentiments right now as clients of Cushman Investment receive the startling news that the trusted name partner, who may well go down as the worst financial demon in the history of Wall Street, will never answer for his crimes."
Collins stepped across the silk rug, closer to the television. The FNN reporter was standing in the chrome, glass, and granite lobby of the Cushman office tower on 3rd Avenue. Behind him, a distraught elderly woman was shouting at a security guard, as if some poor guy with a clipboard and the building's sign-in register were hiding the keys to the vault where Cushman kept all the stolen money.
"As those of us on Wall Street know," the reporter continued, "Abe Cushman distinguished himself as one of the most successful and sought-after investment advisors in the business, earning an annual return of 10 to 12% even in down markets. In the recent financial crisis, however, clients, like the ones now standing behind me, requested a reported $7 billion in redemptions. This marked the end for Cushman, who apparently never bought or sold anything. Sources have told FNN that Cushman met with his family and lawyer last night and admitted that the business was all a lie, a giant Ponzi scheme in which investors were paid not with earnings from investments, but with money collected from other clients. His sons were reportedly prepared to turn him over to the authorities this morning.
Collins switched off the television and returned to the floor-to-ceiling window of his corner office.